If you thought about keeping your art practice moving productively through the summer, then this episode is for you. Art Ladders have two classes starting soon. Intermediate and Advanced Drawing with Armin will start tomorrow, Wednesday, May 24th at 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Val's Abstraction Now summer session will start on May 31st from 6 to 8, again Eastern Time. You can find these classes on eventbrite.com or on our Facebook page at Art Ladders, The Creative Climb. Welcome to Art Ladders, The Creative Climb with Valerie Allen and Armin Merzman. This podcast is focused on interviews, features, and stories about art. It's for artists and art lovers. I'm Val. I'm the abstract artist in the group, joined by Armin, the realist. Welcome to episode 49 of Art Ladders, The Creative Climb. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about where do you see yourself going with your art this summer? This long stretch of time that we have to either concentrate or just play the whole season. Armin, which way are you going to go?
Summers to me are usually the same as any other time of the year, you know, because I just work on my work. I hope to, and I'm getting a surgery for my back this summer, so that'll force me to kind of introspect and do some more reading and read about art a little bit more, because I know I won't be able to do art. So I think that's my plans, and do as much as I can and learn some other things that are related to art that are not physically making art because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you bring up an excellent point of how sometimes your summers aren't always going to go exactly the way you want to go.
Yeah, if for sure.
Different things can get in the way, just like you mentioned. So Some objectives that I can see moving forward is, yes, we have this stretch of time, basically June, July, and August, mm-hmm. that we can either settle in for some hard work or do some improv, do some things that we never thought we would do before, that sort of thing.
Right.
So it's a good time to probably, I'm guessing the way I'm going to proceed is to enter summer with some intentions, some goals I want to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, I think summer shouldn't, in a sense, be any different. There's always something going on, mm-hmm. you know, as a teacher for 50 years, you know, oh, it's the holidays, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, it's spring break, it's the summer, you know, I mean, people can find excuses not to do art for a lot of different reasons. But the summer's a little different, especially going through we've went through a very long winter, I think, you know.
Yes, we did here in Michigan. We did.
It's like 6 months long now. Uh-huh. But so you have those nice days and you want to go enjoy that and do a little bit of traveling and do a little bit of shopping and things like that. And how does that fit in with your art? And how can you actually make that part of your art experience? Because I don't think the art experience is necessarily the craft of making art. It's the idea of experience artistic things, things that move you, things that drive you, things you've never seen. It might be, sitting in a chair, reading a book on a foggy morning somewhere and just bringing that all in, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, I want to do a painting that feels like that. Not necessarily a reproduction of what that is, mm-hmm. but, you know, really dig into your feelings. I think that's an important way to handle some of the summer things, especially if you're traveling.
Right. So, yes, you are absolutely correct. Experiences make you a better artist. And let's start with travel. Let's start with how could artists set off on a trip with true intentions for art.
Well, let me ask you, you've been on many travels.
Yes.
Do you always take art making supplies with you?
Sure, I do. Because what happens if I don't take a few pieces of art materials with me, I end up shopping and in an art material store. And sometimes you're just not close to a store. So I try to think it through, make something very, very packable. Of course, sketchbook, number one, some dry drawing materials. And that doesn't mean just graphite. For me, that means charcoal, oil pastels, something very packable that isn't going to break, like paint. Mm-hmm. I have taken paint in the past and I put them in the Ziploc bags, double bag them, et cetera, et cetera. But I do like the security of knowing that if I get somewhere and I do want to create a small piece of artwork, I have it right there at the ready.
Did you ever take stuff and end up just not using it because you're too busy?
I've done whatever. That.
But I still think it's worth it, because if you don't have it, you get a, oh, I wish I would have my drawing supplies.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're running around and trying to find something. You know, you buy a new sketchbook. You got 17 at home.
I've already got 17.
Right? And so you get some pencils and do a little bit of drawing.
Yeah. So, the coolest trip that I went into with definitely an art making intention, I took a lot of, they were about 5x7 pine boards, thin pine boards designed specifically for woodblock printing. Mm-hmm. And I took a few woodblock printing tools, which I don't even know if the airlines, probably in my packable, I could still do that. And a Sharpie pencil and my sketchbook. Mm-hmm. And during the day, I would do a strict contrast, black and white Sharpie sketch of one of the scenes in the country I was visiting. And then at night, I would carve that small 5x7 woodblock, which was completely doable because mm-hmm. it's small, it's packable. And then in the morning, I would apply printer's ink and with a tablespoon or a wooden spoon, burnish the back, that became my baron, pulled prints, and I could pull two or three of those prints. Mm-hmm. I did probably about 9 different scenes while I was there. And then to my host and also the friends that we would visit, I was able to present them with a hand-pulled print. Mm-hmm. And then I had some inventory when I came back and pretty much entered an art fair and sold many of them. Like that was my most productive art-making trip, I believe.
Right. Yeah, for me, I think... I was in my 20s, so that's at least 10 years ago. Kidding.
Yeah. I was supposed to laugh there, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Cue. No, that was, 40 some years ago or something like that. But I took a bicycle trip from the northern part of Germany to the southern part of Germany. And, didn't have much money and sat in cafes and drew, and I would always sell the piece.
Isn't that cool?
Or, you know, to the next place or whatever it was like that. And so I did a lot of drawings of people and, you know, those kinds of things. The style I had to work with was a very sketchy style, which I tend not to be too comfortable with these days because I've been working a lot with long form drawing, but, mm-hmm. I just taught a workshop this weekend, fantastic workshop at the Atelier in Detroit mm-hmm. about contour drawing.
Yeah.
And of course, you got a demo if you do that.
Right.
And that loosening up really helps you when you work a long time on a piece. You know, if you're a long form painter, drawer or whatever.
Right.
Because it opens up passages to your mind and your creative process. It doesn't happen any other way. Mm-hmm. You can't be too critical. Mm-hmm. You just look, you work. And if it's not 100% perfect, it shouldn't be. It never is.
Right.
You know? So anyway, I'm not trying to go off the subject, but, you know, drawing in cafes, I mean, who wouldn't want to sit in Paris at a cafe and draw?
Doesn't that sound wonderful?
And it sounds like then you're really part of the club.
Yeah.
You know, you have to draw in a cafe and in Paris.
Right.
Right.
And it's a conversation starter.
Sure.
And you never know where that's going to lead. It's so exciting to do that.
Yeah.
I would plan my trips, for example, Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And Santa Fe had a very rich summer exhibition fair type feeling in their plaza area. And so I decided I was going to drive from Michigan and I was going to be in one of those street fairs that happened at the cathedral there. And I loaded up my display screens and everything else. And basically it was a vacation, but for me, it was a chance to actually set up my work and talk with the people of Santa Fe. That was very, very fun to do.
Yes.
Little labor intensive, mm-hmm. definitely a road trip, but well worth it. And it was just this random street show that was happening.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So yeah, combining art materials and your art supplies with travel is a wonderful intention to set out on.
And even today, if you know, you can actually take an iPad and use Procreate.
Yeah, true.
And draw. And then later on, you can print those or draw from those. Mm-hmm. things, because you can do things like go backwards and change the shape or move the shape around so that, you know, you have a little bit bigger of a palette, I would say, with Procreate. It works a lot like drawing. I mean, I use Procreate and there's very little difference, except you can correct yourself very easily or move a shape around, like I said.
You know, but, yeah. Listening to you talk about Procreate right now, I think, wouldn't it be fun if you did a demo of that and we would post that on our Facebook page? Would you feel comfortable doing that? Because I am fascinated by that process. I don't use that process, but mm-hmm. I would like to learn. And not that you're giving class, but just the way you use it.
I think I can do that.
We need to work on that. Yeah. And we'll let everybody
give
know.
Give me a little bit of time.
Yeah,
so
I sure will.
It's what, no. 2023.
No. Wonderful intention. I'm
That's one of the things when I demo, I have to hone that skill down, you know.
You definitely.
And so I take a lot of time on, because I work in a couple different ways, but I teach in a lot of different ways.
Right.
And you can teach a theory of something and do some light demos and work. It works fine. I mean, when I went to art school, most of the teachers I took never did demo.
Right. You know? Same here.
Right.
Yeah.
So you are big on doing demos. Uh-huh. I'm doing demos. I think people really like that approach.
Yeah.
But when I do them and I'm working with something I haven't worked on for, let's say I would do a demo on charcoal. I haven't touched charcoal in 30 years.
Right. Right.
You know. I'd have to mount up on that.
Put 100 hours into charcoal before the demo would happen.
I would.
So I'm more on the fly with the demos. You have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And summer, I think, would be a fun time to do a few demos out there and get them going.
Yeah.
Because I can put the fun summertime music to them, too.
What? Metallica?
No. Who was it? You know, Hot Time, Summer in the City, that song.
Oh, that time. Hot and Gritty and all that other
stuff. Oh, yeah.
I remember the time that we're still on subject here. Plein air painting. And we were really going to get into plein air painting. I thought, why not get into plein air drawing?
Oh, I know you did. I remember this.
So I'm that guy that has to get the best stuff.
Oh, I got the shopping trip.
The umbrella and all those kinds of stuff. I went out twice because I didn't realize it was going to be hot and there was going to be bugs.
And bugs on drawings really don't go together.
Bugs don't go together with anything.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So I said, you know, I'm going to go to the comfort of my studio and just say I did it once. And then I gave you most of my stuff.
You gave me all the equipment, but you did it with grand style. I mean, you look good out there.
I think I even had the hat.
You had the hat.
I had the hat.
You had everything.
Right. It was not a beret, but it was a hat.
It was a sun hat. We had fun. We had fun that season.
I mean, I give a lot of credit to people who do plein air.
Yeah. I do too. I love to do plein air.
But plein air, you know, drawing in my technique.
Yeah, your technique.
You know, it just was not a lot of funk. You know. Kudos to you out there who do a lot of plein air, because you got to fight the elements, and you know.
It's fun. It's fun in the summer.
Oh, it's a
to think
time.
About a fantasy way you would love to create art. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you're a kid in school and you have the summer off and you go out and look up at the clouds and you feel like you have all the time in the world before you have to go back to school. So if we could kind of grab that feeling and put it into our minds for the summer and just let it stretch out before us and come up with all these fun plans to do, you know.
Well, it's a real time to experiment and to, you know, people worry way too much about making good art, whatever they consider good art.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
What's wrong with creating something that isn't that great? You know, what do you learn from that?
Right.
You know, especially new techniques. You can't just grab something. You know, if you're starting egg tempera, you know, it's the last thing you want to do is do that during the summer because it's a studio medium, but. You know, just going out there, we're talking Procreate, you know, the new things that happen like that and using drawing. And let's not forget about iPhonography.
Right. Think of iPhonography or even the act of taking photos with your smartphones as a sketchbook. Yes. I don't know how many times I've done that. And also the one thing that when I do go on vacation, I'll usually pass this beautiful, what I feel is beautiful, broken down piece of architecture. And I'll drive by.
That's
and then
what she
this,
loves me.
Yeah. So I'll drive by. And I go, oh my God, I should have taken a photograph of that. And I keep going on to my whatever business trip, rolling down the road. And then in the summertime, I want to make it an intention that if I see something I want to photograph, I'm throwing on the brakes and I'm turning around and I'm going back and taking a photo. Yeah. I mean, I'm intentionally going to make myself, and it's not making myself, it's giving my gift, giving myself a gift of capturing that photo. You know, that happened on a trip to Greece. As a matter of fact, we were going around a curve. I saw the perfect building. We kept on going, but then something on that trip, I can't remember what, if a storm was coming or whatever, we had to turn around and go back. And I took that as a sign that meant I was supposed to stop and photograph that building. And it became a beautiful painting that then went on into a professional collection somewhere. And those are the moments in the summertime that you grab. Those are the magic moments. And those are the times you can really move forward.
Yeah.
Do you think daydreaming in the summertime, because I do a lot of that, is a waste of time
or a good use of time? Daydreaming is never a waste.
Oh, isn't it the truth?
I mean, you're not going to sit there. And the hardest thing is say, okay, I want to think of a new thing to do. Yes, you can get there and find a new thing to do and at time it works. But I think they come about when you're not forcing yourself, when you're just thinking. A lot of times that comes when you're driving, you know,
You
see a certain thing or whatever. And you ask yourself, what if?
Right.
What if? That's the create, you know, that's a conceptual process. In the conceptual process is the art. And so, you know, new concepts, you know, new things. We're talking about photography, and I've been teaching iPhonography, which is photography with an iPhone or smartphone. Mm-hmm. But the term iPhonography is now that term for using it. And I teach Abstack, where you don't use one app and all this stuff. It's not AI. It's actually kind of far away from AI. But you're putting different photos together as a montage, as a digital montage. Or you're taking regular photos of something that people aren't normally going to look at. You know, I mean, if you go to Paris, you'll probably want to take pictures of the Eiffel Tower, no doubt, right? Yeah. This proves you've been to Paris, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to take a picture of you in a block of cheese. I mean, you can do that here, you know, but, you know, you're going to want to say
those iconic photographs,
But if you go to Paris, there's alleyways and things like that that have amazing structures and textures and architectural things that nobody ever looks at.
Yeah.
And you as an artist can bring that out. That's iPhonography. it's regular photography too, in the sense.
Right,
too.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that, but you know, it wasn't until iPhotography came around that I started looking at things that I would have never looked at. You
know. It's so immediate. It's just,
and you can work at it.
You can
with stacking. With and stuff like that. I don't want to get into the AI stuff right now, but it's for another time. But yeah, you can use your creative mind.
Oh yeah. And you know, wander the streets. And
well, I take, you know, I know that my students listen to this, and the Great Lakes Iconography Group, they're just amazing artists, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they've taken that in and changed it a little bit, as well as my intermediate iPhone class. Mm-hmm. Enough advertisement.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in the summer now, I take my phone and I use that as
your sketchbook.
Yeah.
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 And it, of course, your sketchbook is going to become important in the summertime.
Yeah.
I have kind of a sketchbook addiction. I love to buy sketchbooks.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I love the bindings. I love all the different ways, the sizes, square ones, long ones. But what I'll end up doing is I will either forget them on trips, or I will start one, let's say on a train trip that we're taking across country, and I'll fill up maybe 10 pages. Then I forget about that sketchbook, and that stays blank for the rest of the time. That's not good.
No.
I should really be making an intention of filling up an entire sketchbook instead of randomly grabbing all these
other
ones.
What if
you
take a sketchbook and say, this is my Paris sketchbook?
Yeah.
Fill that book.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, that's usually a lot of pages, but depending on your style of work.
Right.
You know, my mom and my dad, when they went on vacations and stuff, they'd have all these pictures and they'd have it'd be a book of when they went to Rome or those kinds of things,
uh-huh.
which is fine. You still do that. But what if you did that with sketch?
With a sketchbook.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
or does that put too much pressure on
it? It does put a little bit of pressure, especially on, it can definitely add pressure to me. Journaling is a little easier, but even that becomes a bit of a problem on vacation,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, traveling around. So I really, through this podcast, hoping that I will remind myself that intentions can come true.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, a couple of road trips coming up, really, really have some intentions. But I don't want to get too disciplined about it. It takes out the fun of the vacation.
Well, yeah, the difference between I can do it or I have to do it.
Yes.
You know,
so how can we make that an easier transition? What can be the cues? How can we make it automatic? And how can we flip the switch, let's say?
I think that's up to personalities, too. You know, I live pretty good with the I have to do attitude.
Yes, you do. You are.
That's kind of this way that I, you know, that I'm made, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that kind of discipline. It helps me work. But most people I know don't work well with it, kind of thing, you know, so it kind of takes the fun out of it. If you're having breakfast, let's say in Rome, that's, I got to take a bunch of photos or do a bunch of sketches,
right.
You know, that can get in the way of the creative process, you know.
You know, one time I was traveling with another artist, Patty Brady, with the Golden Artists Colors group, you know, and she and I were in Berlin. And we decided that we were going to wake up and have breakfast in our little apartment, which was beautiful, and do little watercolor paintings. Core Watercolor by Golden had just come out, and we were going to do watercolor paintings every morning. And we did for about three mornings, and it was absolutely wonderful. So that's fun when you have a friend. So when I travel with you, you can say, okay, Val, get out your sketchbook.
And yeah, that'll really work.
That'll really work, won't it? So, boy.
Well, we'll travel together, and I'm trying to think of time if we actually spent a lot of time
creating art?
Drawing art together. Of course, when we went to residencies.
Residencies together, of course. Yeah, you're in your own little studio, and you're working away. But I know that we have sketched in cafes before.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's kind of your language a little bit more.
Well, that was, I did that for my first 40 years of, I worked in cafes a lot. I don't do that so much anymore because of the size and the detail and all that kind of stuff. But.
Now, this summer, we're going to be going through a little bit of a studio change too, which is super exciting. Mm-hmm. We're going to expand our downtown studio, which is an industrial space. It's pretty gritty.
Okay. Well, when you speak downtown, it's kind of...
Well, it's not a huge city.
It's not population
40,000.
Yeah. Know, it's kind of off there.
I call it the Stadium District. I've romanticized it. Local people will know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. So that'll take up a lot of the summer.
This studio, we've been there, 15 years?
Oh my God. Yes, at least.
Yeah. And it was... We both painted there and I did a lot of encaustic there.
Yeah, you did.
Then we downsized a little bit.
We downsized it.
I got out of there because I wasn't doing encaustic anymore.
Right. You came back home
and
with yours.
I was just doing drawing. And now I'm getting interested in doing painting, montage. And a place opened up there that we can expand that a little bit more. And so I hope to be spending time doing those kinds of things in that studio this summer.
Right. I'm excited about it because there's going to be space to, if this dream comes true, these daydreams I'm talking about, there'll be a common area that we can turn into a gallery situation conducive to having the public in.
For those of you who have studios at home, and have open studios and things like that.
Yes.
Summer is a great time to do that.
Right. Have people in
And that's what we're hoping to do.
Yeah.
With this space.
Toward the end of summer.
We have some other artist friends that are there.
Denise Artist. Yeah. Yeah. She's had a studio there a long time too.
Wonderful artist, a lot of knowledge. And, it's great to have somebody in there, other artists. And not to necessarily, you're all on the same level. So you're not, how do you like this kind of thing? It's not so much that, but just the interaction with artists, I think, is important. And what better time than the summer?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking
about a grill out there.
Get three friends in your hometown and say, let's go to a cafe or let's go to the park.
Right.
Make art,
Now, let's get a little bit on the obstacles that could happen. The obstacles that can happen through the summer and actually any time of year. And I'm finding it with social media in particular. We're talking about all these fun adventures with artists and this and that. But there's also this feeling of that could crop up when you start saying, oh, they're having so much fun. Why can't I have? You know what I mean? It's comparing yourselves to the other folks' experiences. How can you navigate through that? You see all these people on these wonderful trips and you're stuck back at home or whatever. Mm-hmm. Comparing yourself to others, it's a big problem.
Comparing yourself to others should never happen anyway. You have your own, MO and your own artistic language. And no matter who you will like, you will veer off that anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you exactly copy it, that's kind of sad. You don't want to do that anyway. But I also want to say that, comparing yourself to others will just make you, I go to a museum and there's stuff there that I can't even conceive how it's made.
Right.
And if I went in there and compared myself to, Rembrandt or something like that, I'm like, what have I done in my life? Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
No. And there's positive ways to compare yourself to others, find some like-minded artists and see where they're showing, what galleries they're in. Is that the same aesthetic that you want to follow? That's a good way to compare.
Well, I have a little antidote to that. When we were in our residency last year at Golden,
Golden Apple.
Golden Apple residency, we went to the Littlefield Gallery.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was an artist. Oh, yeah. There was an artist there who was doing montage work.
Right.
And
right.
It really opened my eye. Not like that I wanted to work like this artist, but it opened my eye to how he put shapes together. Just a simple thing. How he put shapes together. And that started resonating with me afterwards and the way I'm working with my my photo montage.
Yes, it really, it really was effective. And I'm kind of blanking on his name right now, but we will put that in our show notes for sure. And Littlefield Gallery as well, because it's a gorgeous gallery in Winter Harbor, Maine. That's just Jane and Kelly do such a good job.
Are we doing
it? And we are going to do a podcast with them. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
So that will be toward, July that will come out. So excited. So yeah, comparing yourself.
But I also want to say to you that you don't have to do any physical art to go to in a summer. You can go to places and just relax.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just relax, have fun, eat, drink, be merry, you know, because that's part of feeding your artistic self too. You know,
it is. You're right.
If I was going to, let's say, to a city that had a lot of museums, I probably would go to more galleries to see what contemporary people are doing than looking at a lot of the old masters and or modern masters in a museum setting.
I would go to a museum setting, but I wouldn't. I would kind of pick out one ism, I guess, and maybe spend an hour at the museum. That's about all a person can absorb and remember instead of 8 hours at a museum.
Oh, there's no way.
Then I would go for an hour, maybe the next day go for another hour, that kind of break it up that way. But you're right. Come back relaxed, come back refreshed.
Yeah, you know, I was working at the American Academy of Art in Chicago, and the the Chicago Art Institute had a free Thursdays.
Oh yeah.
So for lunch every Thursday, I'd walk across the street and I'd pick a room, Pissarro. Yeah. I sat in that room and just sat there for the whole hour. You know, ate a sandwich. I don't know if they let me, but I think I did eat a sandwich. and I would just be in, you know, just taken over by Pissarro, who is amazing.
Yeah, he really is.
You know, almost underrated.
He's almost underrated. Right. Yeah.
And then the next Thursday, I'd sit in another room. Then that's, you know, if we would go to Paris, which is something we're planning on doing, you know, I'd love to go with Louvre. I haven't been there, but I know that I would spend 2 hours there and then everything else starts looking. Here's another Rembrandt, and here's a Pollock, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, I want to stand in front of the Rembrandt for 45 minutes.
Yeah, we would take our time for sure. We definitely would. Another thing that you can do when you're traveling, there's a group called Urban Sketchers that are in all communities, really, or cities at this point, that artists can join up with for special events. For example, let's say there was an urban sketching group in Detroit. They might go to the Detroit Zoo one day. And so you're doing plein air sketching at this point with other artists. And keep that in mind. Urban Sketchers, they're big on Instagram.
Good idea, really.
It's a way to make friends in these cities. And especially if you go abroad, that is so awesome to meet up with an urban sketching group.
Yeah.
So I would love to do that.
That's outdoors, right?
And it is outdoors, and there may be some bugs involved, but you're in alleys. Isn't that a good thing?
Well, there's not so many bugs in the city, you know? I mean, a real city, a big city, you know?
Right. Oh, boy. So what are some things that you can do to, just like you said, I loved your answer, is what if you just take a vacation to pamper yourself, but remain a little bit focused on art, being kind to yourself and not gain weight.
You can't.
And
sorry.
Things that you can do. I know one that I could do. I would do my morning pages on vacation.
Right.
That would be, you know, sit maybe in a cafe, maybe back in the pension or whatever we're in, doing my journaling.
Right.
That's a good thing. Can you think of?
The only thing I can do is sketch.
Or you could make to-do lists for your art when you get back. Is that too, that might exciting. Be too busy.
Let's go to Paris and do a to-do list.
Just for when I get back. No, you don't want to burst that bubble. Very true. Very true.
I love to read and I don't get enough of it. You know, I don't get enough time to read.
Uh-huh.
And I might sit down and read. But I also notice that it's the same kind of thing. When you go somewhere and say, I want to spend some time reading, you start doing that.
It's the same thing.
Fall asleep. And then you do something else. But I think none of this is non-art. I don't believe an artist.
Yeah, none of it is non-art. Living is art.
I don't think an artist goes through life and has a period where they don't do art in the sense of thinking about it, getting inspiration for it, feeling it, looking at people, looking at how they're dressing, the color combinations.
Right.
You know, the way buildings are different in other countries.
Yes.
If you don't even pick up a pencil or a paintbrush, just look and be passionate about their cultures.
Yes.
Talk to people about things, you know. I'm not much for the tour kind of traveling.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and go to places in these cities that are not the ones that are on the tour list. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't go and get robbed.
Right. Right. You know, be smart. But yeah. You know, artists, I'm reading a book right now called Your Brain on Art. That's the name of it. It's actually being featured in a lot of podcasts right now.
Is it?
And I apologize. I can't remember the author's name.
Maybe you can put it in the notes.
But I will put this in the show note. I just started reading it, and there was a quiz that you can take right off the bat that will tell you if you are more of a person, I'm paraphrasing, more of a person who loves aesthetics, more of the person whose life revolves around aesthetics.
Right.
And of course, for visual artists, musicians, writers, you would answer these questions and probably end up being somebody that's very visually and audibly, and chefs would be fall into this, aware of your senses.
Exactly.
And so while you're going through your travels, that's where your aesthetics are taking over. And we can't help but absorb material for another piece of artwork. We can't help it. Or another wonderful chef's selection to create, or a piece of music to compose. You just can't help it. Travel will feed that.
And narratives.
Narratives, yes. You
know, narratives in your work, what's happening here.
Storytelling.
And they don't have to be social critical stuff and things that sometimes I deal with, which I like to do. But, you know, they can be, you know, a narrative about how you felt being there, or who you met, or a situation that you got into.
Yeah.
You know, when you come home and compose and doing those kinds of things. What was your favorite time when you were in Rome?
Right.
You know,
right.
What did you feel? And bring that narrative. It doesn't have to be the Colosseum.
Right. No, it doesn't. In fact, I missed this Colosseum, and another artist will never forgive me for that.
For
missing the Colosseum.
I've never been
when
to Rome,
I was in Rome. That was pretty crazy. Rome,
that's all there is the Colosseum.
I don't know how I missed it, but
it's a big brown thing on the top of a hill, I think.
Michelle, you know who I'm talking about. No. Oh my God, I missed it. No. But these travels through our summer times can come back to you years later, and you can create artwork based on that trip many years later. And series of artworks are developed from these experiences. Mm-hmm. I really, truly believe it.
We're talking about travel. Not everybody travels.
Right.
You know, some people just enjoy being at home and having, garden parties and barbecues.
Yep.
And you can get the same kind of experience.
The same memories. You know, the same
kind of things
that you tie back into your.
Or in my case, my favorite way is just to spend it in the studio, you know, and But I'm getting the travel bug.
You are getting the travel bug, and I'm excited.
It's been a long time since I traveled a lot in my 20s and 30s. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, I've traveled. Don't want
to
travel
again. I am going to hold you to this. Believe me.
I'm sure you will.
So to wrap up, anything? Maybe it's,
well, yes.
Okay, here we go.
I have, if you don't want to do any of those things, take my Zoom class.
Oh, no. Armin, that's awful. That's horrible. Don't do that. No. Simmer down. So I would say in closing that think of your summer as a mini residency, really. Turn it into this joyous 3 months of daydreaming, maybe recording some sketches, listening to music, enjoying some great food, record, you know, just keep track of it through a journal. That would be my words of wisdom. Yeah. Any words of wisdom?
Well, heal your soul.
Heal your soul. You're going to be healing through surgery, of course.
Surgery, but you know, heal your soul from being cooped up in the wintertime.
Yes.
and situations that are happening globally and stuff like that. And feed your mind. You know, those are the two. Heal your soul. Feed your mind.
And report back to us in the fall.
Yes, right.
We would love to hear that.
Yes. So I want to shout out to all the people that listen to our podcast.
Yes.
Appreciate
you.
Next time is going to be our 50th podcast.
Right.
Which is a milestone for us. And it's the people that have listened to it have really enjoy it. So if you can get one person to listen to it, and help us out a little bit, you know,
sure,
it'd be great.
And if you can, you know, check those little stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, leave a review. Wonderful. We appreciate that so much. So happy summer, everybody. Let's do this.
Make art. Let's stay creative.
Our sponsor, Golden Apple Studio and Residency in Downeast, Maine, is happy to announce that artist and director Shelley Stevens will be exhibiting at Littlefield Gallery in Winter Harbor, Maine, this summer, between the dates of July 17th to August 14th. Gallery owners Kelly and Jane Littlefield have created a beautiful space for artists over the last 14 years. Be sure to follow Littlefield Gallery on Facebook. Congratulations to Shelley and Littlefield Gallery. Thank you for listening. You can find our past and future episodes at anchor.fm, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, Art Ladders, The Creative Climb with Valerie Allen and Armin Mersman. Special thanks to our producer, Taylor Kramer of Cold Shower Media.
And check out our websites, ValerieAllenArt.com, ArminMersman.com. Stay creative, stay curious, and we'll see you next time.